Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of faith for our messy lives. I'm Tony Kolenk, a professor at Ave Maria School of Law, the father of five grown children, and the author of inspirational fiction for teens and adults. By the way, during this time of Eucharistic renewal, I hope you've had the chance to get your middle grade reader a copy of my latest release, Penny and the Stolen Chalice, from our Sunday visitor. In the context of a riveting mystery at a modern Catholic school, your middle graders can learn about the Eucharist and the importance of the Mass. And today, we are going to be speaking with Amy Catapan about how we can build a saint squad to inspire our faith during the tough times in our lives. My guest today is Amy J. Catapan. She's a middle school English teacher and Catholic speaker, retreat leader, and author who has written or contributed to several books, including her award-winning novels, Angelhood and Seven Riddles to Nowhere, as well as her nonfiction, Sweet Jesus, Is It June Yet?, and her latest release, which we'll be talking about today, A Saint Squad for Teachers. She hosts the podcast Catholic Live, where she interviews Catholic authors with their new releases, and she also lives in the Chicago area. She's also been a longtime friend and colleague at the Catholic Writers Guild, so it's so great to have you back on the show, Amy. Thanks for coming back.
Hey, Tony. So good to be on with you. I know you've been a guest on Catholic Live many times, and it's great to be a guest on your podcast again.
Yes, I love it because that means both of us have new books coming out regularly. So it gives us a reason to go on all these shows. So since the last time you were on, gosh, it's probably been about a year now, if at least. Why don't you just update us on what's been going on in your life?
Sure. Well, I just released in March my second book for teachers from Ave Maria Press called A Saint Squad for Teachers. And writing for teachers is something I didn't expect to do. You know, you and I have both written young adult, middle grade novels, and that's where I thought my writing was really going to be. And then in the midst of my doctoral program, I was feeling really burned out because I was teaching full time and taking classes at night. And I decided to go on a retreat and discern, good old Ignatian style, 5-day silent retreat. I was at a point where I wasn't even sure I wanted to finish my doctorate. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go over spring break. So that was just about 6 years ago now. That was back in 2018. And that's when I got the call to start writing for teachers. I just had a moment of prayer where I heard the Holy Spirit say, write a book about teachers for teaching like Jesus. And that's where Sweet Jesus, Is It June Yet? Came from. And then after that, I thought, well, okay, that was good. But then the pandemic hit and teaching didn't get any easier. And I thought, okay, Lord, I got to have a little bit more here. You know, I say in the introduction of the book that, you know, I grew up with four brothers, three older, one younger, and they introduced me to a lot of Star Wars and Star Trek. And so I kept having this like voice in my head that sounded like that scene in Star Trek, the original 1960 show, where Captain Kirk is asking for more speed or something with the ship. And the engineer Scotty is yelling back in his wonderful Scottish accent, I've got to have more for a captain. And I can't do the Scottish accent. But that was like the voice in my head was like, I need more, Lord. I need more. What else? And our God is good. He started sending me all these books on saints. And so the last couple of years, I've really been diving into studying saints, especially those who were teachers, school administrators, and catechists. And between that and the Sweet Jesus, Is It June Yet?, I've had an opportunity to do a lot of in-service day talks at schools, which I really love. I've been leading some retreats for schools, for principals, for parish staff, and really having a great time sharing what the Holy Spirit has been leading me to study, which is how to look at Jesus and how to look at the saints and use them as inspiration for our lives.
Yeah, I saw your schedule. You've been doing a lot of these talks and retreats. I suppose maybe let's just spend a minute on that. Like what typically would you do if you were running one of these retreats? And if people actually are interested in having you come talk, maybe tell us how they can find you for that too.
Yeah, so I've done everything from full day retreats to half day retreats to just like little talks at the beginning of the school year at teacher in service days. And usually I'm talking about finding strength for the journey. Like, How do we keep going when our job gets tough? And often we can look to Jesus. You know, his disciples called him rabbi, and that means teacher. So he had a group of kind of challenging students. The disciples weren't always on par with what they were supposed to be doing, right? They caused him a bit of frustration from time to time that they just didn't seem to get it, right? And he had to keep repeating himself. And so, you know, we can find an ally in Jesus. And then when we look at the lives of the saints, we can find allies and mentors there too, who have been through a lot of the same things. So often on these retreats, I'm looking at scripture passages, we're meditating on them. What did Jesus do? And now with the Saint Squad book coming out, we're looking at these saints who were teachers, Saint Francis Xavier Cabrini, Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton, Saint John Bosco, Saint Servant of God, Sister Thea Bowman. And what were they like in the classroom? How did they handle students who were struggling? And what can we learn from their example?
Right. And, you know, I've seen the Angel Studios Cabrini movie a few times now, really enjoyed it. Although part of me wonders how much of this did they take some license with. What have you learned about Cabrini, you know, as a teacher? I didn't even think about it from that perspective.
Yeah, I've seen it twice. I actually got to see it early on in a screener because I wrote a review for the Catholic Mom website. And then I saw it again when it officially released a couple months later with some friends. And I really enjoyed it more the second time than the first time. And I would encourage people to go and check it out. It is a beautifully made movie. The cinematography is fantastic. The music's great. The acting is fantastic. But as someone who did research Mother Cabrini, I can tell you, yeah, it's not 100% historically accurate. They did take a few liberties with it. So for example, things people will learn about Mother Cabrini in my book that they won't learn about in the movie would be that she actually started as a public school teacher. So in the movie, they talk about how she almost drowned when she was young, and that was a health issue for her. But her health issues actually began way before that. She was born a couple months premature, and her parents were always concerned about her health. So as a young woman, she wanted to enter a few different convents. She saw the great Jesuit missionary priest, Francis Xavier, as a hero of hers. And so she wanted to be a missionary from a young age. So she tried to enter a few different convents, and she was turned down because of her health issues. So then she decided to become a teacher, actually got her public school teaching license, started teaching in the public schools in Italy, even managed to teach a little bit of the faith, which was kind of like against the rules in the public schools in Italy at the time. Italy was going through a time of, you know, a kind of a separation of church and state. And she was seen as doing such a great job as a teacher and as a leader within her school that a pastor, her pastor, tapped her to start running an orphanage. And, you know, she was not someone who really sought out leadership positions. You know, in the movie, I think people might get the impression that she was maybe a kind of an aggressive leader. And that's not the impression I got from the books I read. She was known as a teacher for being firm, but gentle with her students. And as a leader, as being shy, but very good at organizing people. And that's what the pastor saw in her. And there was an orphanage that was not doing well nearby. So he tapped her to run it. And then she kind of just got this reputation of being very good at taking schools or orphanages that were not doing well and improving them. And this is where then she wanted to branch out, right? She founded this group of sisters, and they decided to go to Rome to start some schools in Rome. And then she wanted to get her order approved. So it could be all formalized. And this is where, again, now the movie kind of is picking up around this time. In the movie, you don't realize that she actually went to Rome a couple times. There's a story too that the cardinal that she met with actually said, I don't know about you starting a school here in Rome. Why don't you ask God for a sign? Why don't you ask God to give you 500,000 lira to start the school? And if you get that, then I'll know that you're really supposed to start it. And her sisters who were with her were worried. And she said, don't worry, the Lord is going to change his heart. And that's one of the things I wish they had put into the movie, is she had this incredible faith that no matter what happened, God was always going to provide for her. And sure enough, the next time she went back and met with the cardinal, he told her not to open one, but two schools in the Rome area, right? You don't see that kind of stuff in the movie, but it's all over the biographies. If you dig deeper into Mother Cabrini's life, there's another story where the creditors came to get money from their school or the orphanage in the town she started in. And the sister went and the money drawer was empty. And she came back to Mother Cabrini, you know, we don't have any money. And she stopped, she prayed for a moment. And she said, I don't think you looked hard enough, go back. So the nun went back thinking, what am I looking for? And sure enough, opens the drawer and there's the money that they needed for the creditors. You know, there's all these cool little stories you're not seeing in the movies, but there's so much more to her story of her as a teacher and as an administrator.
Yeah. And, you know, I run a veterans and service members law clinic at Ave Maria, and the patroness of our clinics is Mother Cabrini, actually. So I was really thrilled to see that big movie come out for her. But so your Saint Squad book. So let's talk a little bit about that. And like, I mean, why is this your follow-up book? Why are you talking about the saints? And what have you found kind of inspired you to want to bring this topic to our attention?
Yeah. So as I said before, after Sweet Jesus, Is It June Yet? Came out, and we were in the pandemic and then coming out of the pandemic, and school was still being very challenging. You know, education has changed a lot. I've been a classroom teacher for 28 years. It is not the same now as it was when I started. And I really just felt like I needed something more. So like I said, I was praying to the Lord to send me something a little bit more. And all these saint books started popping up in my life. And what was amazing to me is that I discovered there are an awful lot of patron saints related to education. I mean, just to name a few of them, and these all are in the book. You've got St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, patron saint of Catholic schools. That's a common one. St. Thomas Aquinas is the patron of Catholic universities, scholars, schools, and students. St. John Bosco, patron of school children. But then there's some lesser known ones like Blessed Maria Caridad Bader, who's the patron of teachers and catechists. St. Marie Eugenie de Jesus, patron of educators and students. Blessed Marie Ann Blondin, who's the patron of education of the poor. St. Madeleine Sophie Barat, who was homeschooled by her older brother, became the patron of teachers and schoolgirls because she opened schools for girls in France at a time when girls generally were not educated. So, I mean, I could go on. I ended up keeping a list in a journal of how many patron saints of schools and education and catechists I was finding. And then others like Mother Cabrini, who's really the patron of immigrants, was the teacher too. Like, people sometimes forget how many people were teachers. St. Edith Stein was a teacher for many years, right? There are so many of them out there. So I decided to see, you know, what could I learn from their example and what could I maybe share with others? So the book is divided into 10 chapters that are based on themes. And then each chapter has between like 3 to 5 saints in it that fit that theme. So we have saints who used relatable and creative teaching techniques. And there we talk about like Servant of God, Sister Thea Bowman, Saint Ephrem the Syrian, Saint Peter Claver. We've got saints who built strong relationships like Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint Marie Eugenie de Jesus, who I mentioned earlier, Saints Benedict and Scholastica, who were, you know, brother and sister and had a very strong bond. Saints who dealt with challenging students. You've got Saint John Bosco, Saint Dorotheus of Gaza, Saint Jean Baptiste de La Salle. So all these other topics, saints for who advocated for change in schools, who fought for justice for their students, who taught in times of crisis, who embraced lifelong learning. You know, it goes on that I was able to pull out a lot of different lessons that we could learn from all of these saints.
All right. So one of the things you mentioned is trying to build up a saint squad to help us in our tough times. So what does a saint squad look like and how do you build one up?
Yeah. So I made my first saint squad when I was working on my doctoral program. I took advantage of Loyola Chicago's Rome campus for 3 of my electives. And so 3 different summers, I went over there and took a class. And I started noticing how many powerful Italian women saints there are, right? You've got St. Catherine of Siena, who ended her life in Rome. So she's all over Rome. St. Cecilia, Mother Cabrini. You've got St. Rita of Cascia. You've got the teenage Blessed Chiara Badano. And I just started feeling a real kinship with a lot of these women. There were things that I seemed to have in common with each of them. And so I decided that whenever I felt I needed a little extra girl power, I would call on these saints. I called them my Italian sister saints because I don't have any sisters of my own. I have just brothers. So I kind of like adopted them as extra little sisters, right? And whenever I felt I needed a little bit of extra boost, I would call these saints to mind and ask them to pray for me. So that was kind of my first saint squad. And then when I started this book, I thought, oh, okay, I'll make another squad this time of teachers. I would say if anyone wants to create their own little saint squad, one thing to do is be really open and just learning about different saints. Maybe get your hands on a couple of books that give you quick overviews. Of course, you could check out mine, A Saint Squad for Teachers, or there are many saint books out there that'll just give you short biographies. And then once you have some that, you know, kind of catch your eye, you feel you have some kinship with, then read more about them. There's wonderful videos online you could find even on YouTube. Of course, you could order more in-depth books. And just see who keeps appearing in your life. You know, sometimes you're looking for the saint and sometimes the saint's looking for you. Like I have found that Padre Pio chases me at times. Saint Teresa of Avila kind of chases me at times where they just seem to pop up. You know, I'm visiting a place and bam, there's a Padre Pio picture hanging on the wall, or there's a quote from Saint Teresa of Avila. And I'm like, okay, I think the saint's trying to say something to me. So if a saint keeps showing up in your life, maybe take notice of that, you know, see where they're moving in your life, and then learn more about them. Think about how can they be a part of your life? Like I decided kind of retroactively to adopt Saint Catherine of Siena as my confirmation saint. We were going through a weird thing at the time I was confirmed. My mom was the director of religious education. She had heard from the bishops at the time that you should be confirmed with the same name you were baptized with to show the connection between those two sacraments of initiation. Well, I was baptized Amy. So I ended up being confirmed Amy. There is no Saint Amy, right? So Saint Catherine of Siena was one of those saints who kept showing up in my adult life. So like I have a big Saint Catherine of Siena poster that I had nicely framed and I put it in my prayer corner. And then near the entrance to my home, I have another little squad of saints that I found these beautiful prints by a Catholic graphic designer and had those framed. So I've got 9 saints who greet me every day when I walk in and every day when I walk out. So I think, you know, think about how you can welcome them into your home and just make them a part of your life where you're seeing them and you're asking for their help all the time.
Well, let me ask you this, and this may be kind of a basic question, especially for people who are raised Catholic, but it might occur to somebody like, hey, you know, I pray to God a lot. I ask Jesus or the Holy Spirit to help me. But you're suggesting I kind of develop this group of saints that I guess am praying to. Could you kind of dive a little deeper into the real benefits of that?
Sure. I'll start with talking about Saint Ignatius for a moment, because if you're not familiar with his story, he was kind of a rascal as a young man. He grew up in Spain. He was all interested in looking good for the ladies. He's known as a bit of a ladies' man. And he wanted to just be this strong, brave, courageous, well-known knight for the king. And one day in battle, he got hit by a cannonball in the leg and he ended up being sent back to his family home in Loyola, Spain. And while he was recovering, he had only 2 things: Life of Christ and books on saints. And between studying the life of Christ and studying the lives of saints, he had this major reversion moment where he decided to give up all pursuit of being this, you know, well-known and respected knight and instead be a knight for Christ. And it totally changed his life, right? He ended up founding the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. It meant a lot to him. It helped him. And I think it's because they give us role models. Jesus is obviously a great role model for teachers. I wrote a whole book about him, but he's 100% human and 100% divine. And sometimes that's a little intimidating for people. So of course we can go to Jesus. Of course we should develop our relationship with him. I think developing a relationship with saints isn't like, oh, now I don't have to develop a relationship with Christ. Not at all. The saints are there to help us develop a relationship with Christ. And since they're 100% human and 0% divine, right, we might feel like they're a bit more relatable at times. And so when we're praying with them, and I really like to think of it more as praying with them than to them. And maybe that's the English teacher, me getting picky about my prepositions. But, you know, sometimes I think non-Catholics think, oh, well, that means like we're worshiping them or we're thinking they're doing something. Really, it's like asking a friend to pray for you, right? Just like I might, you know, hop on Instagram and ask my friends to pray for me, you know, or I might ask my family members to pray for me. And in that same way, I can turn to my saint squad and say, hey, you're all up there in heaven. I know you're really close to Jesus. You've been there, done that with a lot of the things that I'm doing down here. Can you pray for me too and help me see how I can be a good follower of Christ like you were a good follower of Christ? So I like to think of it as just those heavenly friends. I mean, that's the subtitle Ave Maria Press gave the book, right? 45 heavenly friends to carry you through the school year. The church canonized them, meaning we believe that they are in heaven. So there are friends up there in heaven that we can just call on and say, you know, say a prayer for me because this is what I'm going through, and ask Jesus to be with me today.
Yeah, even like I mentioned, Mother Cabrini being the patroness of our clinic, every class before we start talking about our cases or whatever, we always ask St. Francis Cabrini, pray for us. And I kind of feel like, I mean, God has showered down all sorts of gifts on our clinic. And of course, I always say God just wants our clinic to do well. But I wonder sometimes, I wonder how much of this is actually Mother Cabrini's, you know, intercession since we rely on her so much. But maybe can you share maybe either a story from your book of a time when, you know, having the Saint Squad really helped you or someone else that you know get through a really tough time in their lives?
There was a situation where I had to report some suspected abuse. And one of the saints in the book is St. Charles Lwanga. And he is an African saint. He's actually part of a group of martyrs that were canonized together. And he had to stand up to a king who was a pedophile. He was in charge of the young boys who worked for the king, like the servant boys, who were mostly like preteens, teenagers. And this king was abusive to the boys. And Charles Lwanga had become Catholic and was catechizing the boys and teaching them that what the king was doing was not appropriate. It was sinful. And he often had to hide the boys or send them away on errands to keep them away from the king. And of course, that upset the king, and they all ended up being martyred. So I had a situation where there was some suspected abuse going on, and it was a difficult, challenging situation. I didn't want to have to say what I had to say. And I can remember like going to make the report just the whole way going, St. Charles Lwanga, pray for me. St. Charles Lwanga, pray for me, right? Because I thought, I need courage right now. I need courage because I've got to say something nobody wants to say, but I had to stand up for the kids. I felt his presence there with me, right? I had to march into an office and make a report and do what I had to do. And it's just good to know that, like, I felt like I could go in there and I had St. Charles Lwanga by my side, you know, helping me to say what I needed to say at a time when I felt very nervous, but knowing I had to do it.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great example. And what about just maybe one more before we start wrapping up here? What about from your book? I know you cover different themes in there. Do you have a favorite theme that really resonates with you when it comes to the saints being our squad?
Well, I'll tell you two more that I've called on a lot in recent years, St. John Bosco and St. John Baptista de La Salle, because they both worked with the age group I work with, middle school boys. And they both were great at taking boys who were not known for being great kids, right? So St. John Bosco was a priest in Turin, Italy, at a time when Turin was being very industrialized and people were flocking to Turin for jobs. The problem was there weren't as many jobs as there were workers. And so what you ended up with was a situation kind of similar to what Mother Cabrini ended up seeing about 100 years later in New York, is you had all these Italian families with kids and not enough jobs and kids living out on the street, kids gambling, kids committing petty thefts. And so John Bosco had a dream when he was a kid himself, only 9 years old. He had a dream where he saw all these unruly children in front of him in a field. And the Blessed Mother appeared to him and said, this is your field. This is where you're going to work. And he was only 9 years old and he got his call right then. And so then when he grew up and he became a priest and he was in Turin and he was seeing these boys who actually were ending up in jail because they were imprisoning 12 and 13 year olds who were committing these crimes. And he knew that this would just lead to a lifelong situation of these kids being incarcerated and then letting go and then doing like another crime and ending up back in jail. And he said, someone's going to do something to break the cycle. And that's when he started holding what he called his oratories, where he would teach the kids to pray, teach them lessons. But then he also used skills he had developed as a kid. He learned to juggle. He learned to do acrobatics. And if the kids stayed for the prayer and the lessons, they got to watch him perform. And then he had so many kids, hundreds of kids showing up. He needed to get a house. He needed a place to keep them. His mom had to come and play housekeeper at the house, right? Some of the kids were boarding there. Some just came for the lessons and the show afterwards. But he had a way of treating the boys that Jean-Baptiste de La Salle also had. He treated them with dignity. He treated them with respect. For example, if he saw a boy misbehaving, Gian Bosco would offer what he called una parola d'orecchio, a word in the ear. In other words, instead of like embarrassing in front of all the rest of the kids, he would pull him aside or just whisper something quietly to him, a word of encouragement, or talk to him privately. And it reminds me of some of my coworkers who would talk to kids out in the hallway. And it's a technique that I've adopted, right? Instead of having this conversation in front of everybody, just saying something like, this is inappropriate and you and I are going to talk about it more later. And then talking to them after class ends or going over during work time and talking to them quietly, privately while other people are working. It's a way that it respects the dignity of the kid, but lets them know that their behavior is not acceptable and this is what needs to change. So I know I've called on them a lot because they worked with that age group, right? They knew what rascally middle school boys could be like.
Yeah, I love John Bosco. I went to Don Bosco Technical High School, which was an all-boys high school in Paterson, New Jersey. Definitely got to appreciate all that John Bosco did for youth. So, Amy, it sounds like you've got so many great stories of the different saints and how they can impact our lives in this book, especially if you're a teacher. So tell folks if they are interested in getting a hold of this book or learning more about you and your writing, where should they go?
The book, A Saint Squad for Teachers, is available wherever fine books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's from Ave Maria Press. So you can also go to the Ave Maria Press website. And you can find me on my website, which is ajcatapan.com. Feel free to follow me on Instagram. And if you are an administrator at a school or a parish and you'd like me to come in and speak at a teacher in-service day or lead a retreat for your parish staff or your school staff, I'd be happy to do so. Again, come to ajcatapan.com and, you know, let me know. I'd be happy to come on out and talk with all the teachers or catechists out there. There's a lot of catechists in this book too. So this isn't just for Catholic school teachers. There's a lot of catechists that come up in this book as well.
Excellent. Well, Amy, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us today. It's been wonderful having you on the show again.
Thank you for having me on again, Tony. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for the show today. We've been speaking with Amy Catapan about developing your own Saint Squad to help you get through the tough times in your life. Again, this is Anthony Barone Kolenc. If you want to learn more about my writing, including my new Penny release or the Harwood Mysteries, definitely check out my website, AnthonyKolenc.com. Until next time, may God bless us as we rely on our faith to work through the messy challenges of our lives.